Ashley, good morning. Where did you get that from? I've never heard that before. Oh, Sarah Bariamas?
Sarah Barry Ellis.
Okay, Barry Ellis. It's being enunciated really clearly from the front row of a music person who knows music. Wow, that was so pretty. Thank you so much. Good morning. Nice full house today. Love that. Love that. We turn the lights out and magic happens. It's great. So welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm still Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm still the spiritual leader of this community, and we are walking through the Christmas season, and I'm just delighted to have you here and to have this opportunity to speak some... Sorry. I just noticed... I don't know how you hid that from me. Santa is here. Oh my, that was quite fun. Good job. Good job. Did you bring me candy?
Molasses spice cookies.
Yay, okay, make sure I get one. All righty. So anyhow, good morning. I'm talking this morning about a Christmas carol that I was not familiar with, and it was called Little Donkey. How many of you have heard that before? I didn't really know it. So a few of you have raised your hands. And it's sweet. It sounds like you can YouTube it later. It sounds like a lovely children's Christmas carol, and it's about the story of Mary and Joseph and the donkey, how they travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They have this approximately 70-mile trek. They got to get down to Bethlehem because, you know, it was prophesied that the baby Jesus would be born there. Actually, there's a lot more to the story, but what I find really interesting is there's not very much of the story actually in Scripture, which is where we get the story from. So there are a few verses in Matthew and a few verses in Luke. John and Mark don't even acknowledge it, and the four gospel books are the story of the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. So, by the way, I think it's perfect that you are here today, Reverend Sandra. And, you know, one of the fun things for me that Reverend Sandra comes is that she's a unity minister. Isn't it wonderful that we can open our doors to lots of experiences? So, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Hey, hi there. You must be here today. a couple weeks ago, I talked about the way, I got them ready for you, Reverend Sandra. I talked about the way stories, the title of the talk was Storied Spirituality, and the way we can look at these spiritual stories to get, to find the truth that is there, but the truth, that string of truth that we will resonate with in our own minds. So what we spoke about then was that there's this way that stories are expansive. Stories are embellished or enhanced or changed a little bit. And that's not a bad thing. And if we look at it spiritually speaking, we can understand that the beauty in that is that we will be more open to find something that really speaks to our own heart. And that's the good part. That's the really important part. And the other thing I think about a lot is that, you know, so there's fact, and then there's this parable around this fact. And I think that it really parallels our very lives because there are facts that happen in our experience of living. And then there's the story we tell about that experience. Because even in our own living, we have this gorgeous God-given opportunity to have an experience and interpret it in such a way that we can use it right where we are. Did you ever notice your stories change through the years? Mine get lots better. I fill in a lot of gaps that, you know, later I start wondering, I wonder how much of that really happened and how much now I have just added to the story. Because, you know, your good stories deserve to be told more than a time or two. So what is so beautiful about this is that story helps, it speaks to our soul, and it helps us understand that life. It gives us more meaning and purpose to our living. And when we look at the spiritual matters that are most important, I think what we can see is that, let's start at the beginning, that if we look at that idea that there is no place that God is not. Right where I am, God is. There is an indwelling presence that never, we're never separated from it. And the more that we look at that, and the more that we look at ways to understand that in our experience of living, the more that we get clearer that the presence of God is always here. It helps us to sort of expand our understanding of what God is. God is a presence, not a person, right? So we get the personhood of Jesus that brings us this personal understanding so that we can relate to living on this planet in as a human. And I think that that's sort of the best part of the story of Christmas. I like it so much, but it begins to give us right at the birth of Jesus, the story of the birth of Jesus, right at the beginning, it gives us this entrance into looking at the marriage of the human and the divine, the merging, the unification, that we are both human and divine as we're moving through our lives. So, it's like a sort of understated, and yet there it is right from the very beginning of the story. So, we either gain wisdom by paying attention to our stories or making up our stories in a certain way, or we don't gain wisdom. Sometimes we miss the wisdom because we get stuck in the drama. But what I think the point is that our life also, just like Scripture, all sacred Scripture based on truth, our lives are based on universal truths. And as we study them, we can learn to apply them in our lives, and that's what this morning is about. The reading that Sue did was so perfect. The music that you chose, I love how everything just aligns to this idea. And here we are talking about the little donkey. You know what's cute? They didn't even call me and go, what the hell are you going to talk about? Little donkey, what is that? But what I'm really looking at today is the role of the donkey. The donkey carried the heavy burden. That was why Sue used that wonderful quote. We get to look at what that means to carry a burden. And that the donkey, which, by the way, in the Christmas carol, I noticed they called it burrito. Burrito. Isn't that cute? We get to look at this idea of the way the donkey always forges ahead, moves ahead, and gets you to where it is you want to go. So I did some research around all of this, and I have some really interesting things. Boy, did I do research. It was so fun that I just went down one of those rabbit holes, and I was gone for almost every day. I was Googling something different, a different element, and when it came time to sit down and write the message, I had to thin it all out. It's like, oh, that's going to be too many facts, too boring. But I do have some really good tidbits for you. So first of all, I wanted to say that we're looking at this 70-mile journey that Joseph and Mary took while she is heavy with child to get down to Bethlehem. Thank you. What's interesting is that is such a small region, and we think of it as, you know, like the United States is all big, but it is really a very small region. And in order to travel 70 miles, which often we talk about the fact that the reason they did that was because Joseph had to go to his hometown, like all Jews, for the census that happens every 10 years or so. But I actually read sources that dispute that. They say the great historian Josephus said that's not so. But it doesn't matter. And I think that's what I really want to relay today. So, and by the way, all the references speak differently. One source said 65 miles. Another source said as much as 80 miles. It doesn't matter. There were two different paths. One source I read was really interesting because it was about somebody that went there and traveled both paths to write their own version of what that would have been like back in biblical time. So I thought 70 miles, you know, I'm such a girl. I don't relate to that, especially because this is not my home ground. You know, in LA, I might be able to have done that quickly because I grew up there. But here I thought 70 miles, let's see, no, Quartzsite's about 90 miles, I think. And then I looked up Flagstaff. Flagstaff is 140 miles from Phoenix. And I thought, okay, that'll do, because that's about half. Let's say on the way to Flagstaff, about halfway to Flagstaff, is the distance that they had to travel. It wouldn't have had as much elevation. However, it was hilly and very rocky, and it is very likely that they had a donkey, except that the Bible doesn't actually say that. We've sort of added that in. Did you know that? I didn't really actually know that, but I do now. I love being enlightened. It's so good for the soul, right? So Bethlehem is a hilltop town on a ridge near the edge of the Judean desert, about 5 miles from Jerusalem, that helps. And so I pulled out my Strong's, my concise Bible concordance, and Strong's is kind of a universal one. And the Strong's concordance typically leads you to King James versions of the Bible, multiple versions of, but through the eyes of King James, and certainly not Eugene Peterson, whom, by the way, I really, really like. Do you see why I like Peterson so much? Do you see the difference when you're, gosh, he makes it so, like, gives you so much more meat to think about. So interestingly, the concordance had no documentation of the word donkey being in the Bible anywhere. So I looked up burro. There is no mention of a burro or a little burrito in the Bible at all. And I thought, well, I'll look up mule, even though it's not the same thing. And there was no mule either. And then, you know, I finally realized that biblically, it was always called an ass. So I looked up ass, and there were 127 references in the Bible to ass or asses. I know, because I stopped and counted. So the Bible dictionary, I then moved to my Bible dictionary, and I found this passage. So now at least I know I'm looking for ass and not donkey. The Bible dictionary said, proverbially, we think of asses as stubborn and stupid. But in actuality, we're talking about animal. We're not talking about the people in your life. Proverbially, we think of them as stubborn and stupid, but in actuality, their intelligence is superior to that of a horse, and they are patient and long-suffering. So then when I went to look at it, I'm getting the big nod from the Unity minister here, who's going to talk about all this later. So then when I look at the metaphysical understanding of the donkey, we see that the donkey not only carries the burden or the heavy load, but that the donkey is a symbol for patience and long-suffering. So the next time that you think you see a donkey on the road, remember that it is a biblical opportunity for you to remember patience and long-suffering. It was actually written in the Mosaic Law. Is Andrea here today? Elsa, do you know how many laws, the Mosaic Laws there are? Andrea would totally know this. It was written in the Mosaic Law, and this is of interest to me, that domestic animals were to be treated humanely. It was a law. that you treat your animals humanely. And so there's actually a law that says an ass lying down under its load, an ass, it gets, you know, the load gets heavy, and then the donkey lays down, and he's laying down because of this heavy load, is to be relieved of the load. So you were not to prod him on. You were to let him rest. You were to give him that time to recuperate. There's also another one that kind of ties in with the quote Sue was using that said, it was actually illegal to yoke an ox and an ass together. I think that's important to know. But because it was deemed unfair to the smaller animal, that it would be too much work, too hard for him. And I thought, gosh, that just sounds like politics today. Isn't that interesting? My Bible dictionary also said that the number of asses in Israel, it said this in the book, I'm just reading, the number of asses in Israel must have been very great. In fact, to quote it, it says, the frequent mention of this creature in Scripture suggests that very few households were without them. So it would have been very likely that Mary and Joseph would have used the donkey to help them cross the hill. And you know, the other thing I learned was that their feet are different than horses, that they're pointy or something, and so that they do rocks and hills much better than a horse does. They actually have better balance than a horse in that kind of environment. So now that you have a better understanding of the Christmas carol, the little donkey, and the role of the donkey, I think that now we can move into applying the meaning and the purpose of the message. And I was thinking, and it was so much that same quote about the burdens and the yoke and all of that. It's so much about what I was stunned because I didn't use that scripture when I was doing my research. That we see that if we look at our own life, when it feels like you're carrying a heavy burden, then we need to keep our eye on the prize. Mary and Joseph knew where they were going, you know, and it certainly couldn't have been comfortable if this is more than legend. It couldn't have been comfortable for her. We can be assured of that. But you keep your eye on the prize, and you keep, like the donkey, you keep putting one foot in front of the other. Or as Ernest Holmes used to say, or says frequently in the Science of Mind textbook, keep on keeping on. And I think the way that we best do that is to remember our purpose, to know why we're doing whatever it is that we're doing. Know your purpose. Go back to that. And that will help you to keep forging on in the same way that the donkey knows how to do that. It will keep you moving ahead. It will help us move through obstacles or things that seem to want to get in the way. Now, every year, for those of you who know me a while, every year I like to talk about the beauty for me of Christmas and the fact that we revisit it once a year is that we get to look again at that idea of the Christ consciousness being born into the world, and that we get to invite that experience of birthing the Christ consciousness anew in our very own lives. And I think it's wonderful that it's a holiday in which, if I'm looking for the sacredness of it, if I'm looking for a personal connection to it, it is always about hope, it is about promise, it is about potentiality, and it's about me filling in those blank squares on next year's calendar. It's about me looking back over last year and seeing what worked and what didn't work, and how do I want to show up now? The Christ consciousness is born anew in me, and I can choose any direction I desire to go. Let me hear a big amen. Because you can too. And what's sort of unique about the whole Christmas story is that if you look at it sort of broadly, we see that it's kind of about royalty. It's got some regal theme to it. You know, there's kings and angels and a bright star, but then it is mingled with this idea of the humble birth. You know, we have this stable, this nativity scene that, which by the way, is the only account where the donkey was in the nativity scene where they were describing that baby Jesus in the manger. So the ox and the donkey were there, and that's pretty much where they pulled the donkey into this story. So we look at that and we see that there's both this regal, royal, divine, again, mixed with this really just down-to-earth human experience. Once again, we see that we are that intersection of the heavenly and the earthly. Sometimes religion has sort of given us a kick and made us, not this religion, we don't do this here, but some of us come from religious backgrounds, me included, where you're always, there's this emphasis on doing the right thing and being better, being kinder, do no harm, and it's given to you as though you're not good enough. Now, I have a problem with that because I don't like to use guilt. I did when I was raising kids, but now that they're all grown up, it doesn't matter. You know, I think the idea of you might keep an open mind around that. It's like, but there's this way in which we can look at these ideas without being hard on ourselves, and that's the part I like to give to you. I mean, everything we teach and we study and all of religious science and new thought is always inviting you to a deeper experience of life, a more prosperous experience of life, your general well-being in every way, and a new way to view all the things that are going on in the world. So be kind to yourself while you're trying to apply all of this and you're looking for that new newborn Christ consciousness that you'd like to step into this year. Found a quote that supports this idea from a gentleman named Phil Bolsta, who has a fabulous, I love this book, I keep it on my desk now, I don't even put it away. It's a book of quotes, but then he gives his own opinion what he thinks of after he reads these great quotes from all over the place. And so Phil Bolsta said, "Be kind to yourself and do not get discouraged when you slip up. Taking two steps forward and a step backward is still moving you in the right direction." Isn't that great advice? You know, so we want to be good to ourselves. And there's another quote from Plato, 2,500 years before Phil Bolsta said this. Plato said, "Never discourage anyone who continually makes progress, no matter how slow." When I look at how I feel about the people in my life, it really helps me to hear this. Never discourage anyone who continually makes progress, no matter how slow, because we all move through life at our own pace, right? Hugh has never walked as fast as I walk, right? And so there's a way we're reminded again and again that each and every one of us is created in the image and likeness of that divine creator, and that we have been given everything we need to live a beautiful life on this planet, and that we have permission to move at our own pace because we are an individualized expression of God. Nobody can do it like you do, and if you don't do it, nobody else is here to take it up. It's yours. So if you happen to have any opinions about how people in your life do things, like I do sometimes, or again, if you're out driving around on the road, I would just encourage you to, you know, that's a donkey thought, and I would encourage you to practice patience and long-suffering and see that it is truly a gift from God, that God created this universe to support us in all ways, just to support all of creation. I was thinking about that story about that. Maybe some of you have also, because it's not a new story. The story of the farmer who has a donkey that falls into a hole. The hole is an old dried up well that doesn't work. I see some of you nodding. A well, and that so the donkey is stuck way down deep in this hole, and the farmer gathers some friends, and they try everything they can think of to get that donkey out of the hole, and they just can't figure out how to get him out. And so the donkey is very uncomfortable. The donkey is crying and whining, kind of squealing, and it's very unpleasant to be working all day to try and save him. And the sun starts to go down. It's the dusk time of the evening, and they realize that they have to do something to put the donkey out of all this misery. So the farmer decides they're going to bury the donkey. And he gathers more townspeople, and they all bring their, I know, I'm sorry, it has a happy ending, hang in there. They all bring their shovels, and they start throwing the dirt down the hole. And it doesn't take long before the donkey is quiet. And in fact, after a few more shovelfuls from the people all around the hole, they hear the donkey give off a happy bray. What do you think a happy bray sounds like? Somebody give me a happy bray. Oh, that was good. Thank you. So glad I thought to ask. So the donkey starts making that happy hee-haw sound. And the farmer then looks down and thinks, what the heck is going on? And he looks down, and what he sees is that every shovel of dirt, the donkey is shaking it off and stepping up a little higher. And the dirt, as the day goes on, the hours pass, they fill the hole, and the donkey rises till he can walk himself out of the hole. Is that a gorgeous idea of how we can look at the ideas of when you feel like you're in the pits, or you've fallen down a hole you didn't see coming, or you're just stuck in some kind of cave in your life, and you'd like to get, why are you all laughing? Sue said in her reading, I was so moved by it, I had to write it down. It is the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, so we, you know, I mean, look at your life. This is the time of year when it's appropriate to look at your life and ask yourself, be brave. Ask yourself, what isn't working? Because it's really easy to be walking through your day going, I got this, I got this. Life is good. God is good. Yeah, all the time. And you may not notice that you're carrying certain burdens that you don't need to be carrying. That's why Holmes always said, look the discordant fact in the face. Own it. See what's not working so you can use the practical spirituality that we teach here and all kinds of places where you can apply it to your life and change your life and rise yourself until you are up out of the hole. All you have to do, it feels like people are throwing things at you that you don't like, shake it off. Shake it off. You feel like you're stuck in a pit somewhere, then just find your way out by doing something that is the unforced grace, the rhythm of grace, the unforced rhythm of grace. You just climb on all the crap. You use the obstacle to get you above the adversity. That's the message. Yeah, you like that. I like that too. I like that. So if you're tired of carrying any heavy burden, you know sometimes how we worry about family members because they're not living their life quite the way we'd like them to be living their life. You know how we can get shook up by just turning on the internet and seeing what's going on in the world. We look at the world news, the world events. You know how we worry about some of the awful things that happen. You can see that in a way it's almost as though the small things now are the minor things are like the terrorism that we worry about in a bigger way. We have this terrorism in our heart or this fear of it. And if you notice that you just would like to, you haven't been feeling safe in your world, shake it off. Shake it off. Turn to God. Notice what you're focusing on. Because if you're too worried, if you're feeling the heaviness, and you should, I hope you will feel it if you're doing it. Feel it. Be aware of it. Because then you can make other choices. And that is the gift of being created in the image and the likeness of God, that we can co-create our lives. that we can make new choices as we shake off the burdens and we use them to stand upon to get higher and higher until we are in that place that we desire to be. So focus on things that you're grateful for. Focus on resting, like the donkey. Like there's a Mosaic law that says if the donkey's load is too heavy and he needs to rest, you let him rest. You relieve him of that burden. Can we do that for ourselves? Absolutely we can. We just need to be aware of the way we are moving through life. I like to say, let the Lord lift you up, right? Let God do it. You know, there's a power that's greater than we are. Open yourself to that, to lift you and raise you to a higher point of view. And all of this tells me that some of us, I'm a Taurus. I tend to like things my way, and I can be stubborn.
Amen.
Well, at least one of you does. Oh, where do you think I was? When you are carrying that, yeah, stubborn. And let's say you're working, trying to get something done. There's a project. I find myself in this position a lot with this job. There are deadlines. I got to get stuff done. And so I tend to, without even recognizing it, I can start heaping more burden on my shoulder and forget to rest. Even the donkey in the Mosaic law was ordered to rest. And so pay attention when you're pushing yourself. You know what I'm pushing myself, and I got big projects. Anybody that's ever worked on an event with me here knows this. I'm not very nice. You know, I get grumpy. And then you, because you have a lot of energy, you want everybody to demonstrate the same amount of energy and keep up with you. And not everybody is Clyde, let's face it. Boy, does he have energy. So when we refuse to put down a heavy load, what happens? If we don't pay attention, your body will tell you, right? Your back will hurt later, your feet will ache, or your brain will be overstressed because you just have been trying to do everything and carry that weight all on your own. And you know what I think that means? We are breaking the law. When we do that, we are breaking the law because there are universal principles that are in place for, and that's what we come to Sunday service for, to and take classes for, so that we can learn how to align our own life into that rhythm of grace. That the universe is here to support us, not to put more on our shoulders. You know who puts more on your shoulders? You do. I do. We all do. So everything I think about life is understanding, learning to understand these divine laws. Ernest Holmes said this, we must seek more and more to utilize our own divine nature. And by so doing, we will come more fully under the protection of the great laws that govern all life. We're talking about spiritual law here. We're talking about, you know, we don't argue with gravity. Well, sometimes we argue with gravity. But, you know, we understand that if we are going against the law, you know, I like that song. I fought the law and you can't, it just is. God is. Divine principle is. And so we study this stuff and we learn how to unify with it. We learn how to be more aware and to listen to our life, to pay attention to what's going on in our life. You know, I have one more little story. This is a new one I had never heard before, but it's a story about a missionary that went to the South Pacific during Christmas time. So he traveled from island to island. And he's teaching these native students about the Christian traditions. And he teaches them that at Christmas time, there's this tradition of exchanging gifts. So on Christmas Day, in the particular island where he is when that when Christmas falls, one of his students finds him and brings him a gorgeous shell. So they live on an island. They know where those things are. And so the missionary was so pleased. He was so thrilled. He said, "Thank you so much. This is a beautiful gift. This shell was colorful and perfect in every way. It was lustrous," it said in the writing. And he said, "Where did you find such a beautiful shell?" And the student very proudly said, "Oh, I walked many miles because I know where the beach is, where such shells appear on the beach." And he said, the missionary said, "You did a wonderful job because I love this shell. It's really so beautiful. Thank you for traveling so far to find me this gift." And then the student's eyes brightened. And he said, "Oh, long walk, part of gift." The long walk, traveling by burrow, heavy with child or heavy with burden of some sort. All of us are given opportunities to see that we are in positions from time to time where perseverance is required. And that the long walk then becomes part of the gift if we don't abuse it, if we don't heap more on our shoulders than we can manage. So let us see that we get to choose. You know, it's a God-given gift. We get to choose how much of that gift we give to ourselves by waking up to these universal spiritual laws. It's a gift that God offers us, and yet it's a gift of choice. It is a power of right action, and individually, each one of us gets to choose. And so I want you just to take a moment to reflect on everything that's been spoken this morning. And we're going to move into that place of prayer where we can anchor the truth that is yours this day. Because I know that as each person has gotten themselves dressed and traveled here to be in this sanctuary this morning, that some universal truth has been sparkened inside of you. So at this time, if I could ask the practitioners and the ministers to please stand and circle the sanctuary. We still our minds and we move inward to that sacred place of the Most High within. It is that place where peace abides. I recognize the presence of God right here in this very room. Remembering again that there is no place that God is not, and so I know that right here, in the middle of this beautiful Sunday service, the activity of Spirit itself is alive and active and moving. And I can feel that movement as a quickening within me. For I know it is life itself. It is life divine. And in this way, that as we remember and recognize this truth again, we unify with this great truth of all the universe. And something changes. We can feel a different energetic vibration because we begin to move in the rhythm of that divine grace. Our burdens are lifted. The things that we are concerned about are eased because it is the Holy Spirit that has come here today to heal us, to soothe us, to uplift us and remind us yet again. There is no place where God is missing or limited. And therefore, all of our needs are met. And then some. that everything we need to be healthy, to be whole, to be prosperous, to live a life of well-being, everything we need is already given. And so we open ourselves right now. We open ourselves to be vessels to receive. We sit and we breathe and we allow the grace of God, the gifts of the kingdom, to just stream into our own personal life, our soul's desires. And we accept and we say, yes, yes. We understand this circulation of all of life, that there is a giving and a receiving. And so how grateful I am to know that there is an intelligence in our bodies that knows how to heal that which ails us. There is a love so strong that it can lead us to forgiveness and relationships are healed. There is a way we are given grace to move through any situation we are required to move through. We simply put one foot in front of the other. We keep on, and we keep ourselves crisp and aware that right where we are, so is that infinite intelligence of all the universe. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, infinite spirit, for all of these blessings and for those blessings that are yet to come. We remain open. My heart is full of gratitude when I release this prayer into that divine law that always says yes. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.
Keep falling.